The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com: Are sugar-free foods actually good for you? This article was written by Bruno Oliveira on February 11th. We all know sugar feels good at first bite, whether it's cookies, soda, or candy. But what if you could get that same sweet taste without all the extra sugar? That's where sugar-free foods come in. From sugar-free gum and diet sodas to protein bars and sugar-free ice cream, these products are all over the place. They're often marketed as the healthier choice, but are they really good for you? Let's break it all down. What does sugar-free really mean? When a food or drink is labeled sugar-free, it legally means it contains less than 0.5 grams of sugar per serving. That sounds like a win, especially if you're trying to cut back on sugar. But here's the thing, sugar-free doesn't necessarily mean healthy. Most sugar-free products still taste sweet because they use sweeteners instead of sugar. These sweeteners fall into a few main categories. Artificial sweeteners like aspartame, sucralose, and saccharin. Natural, low-calorie sweeteners like stevia or monk fruit. Sugar alcohols like xylitol, erythritol, and sorbitol. These ingredients provide sweetness with little to no calories, which is why they're popular in diet foods and drinks. However, the way your body reacts to these sweeteners isn't always the same as real sugar, and that's where things get intriguing. Why do people choose sugar-free foods? There are some reasons teens and adults might pick sugar-free options. Trying to lower calorie intake. Cutting back on sugar for health reasons. Preventing cavities and tooth decay. Managing or preventing weight gain. Being mindful of blood sugar levels. Wanting sweet flavors without feeling guilty. Many teens are introduced to sugar-free products through diet sodas, energy drinks, protein bars, or even low-sugar snacks marketed as better options, even though they're still heavily processed. Sugar especially shows up in drinks, sodas, energy drinks, sweet teas, and even some juices. Studies like the CDC have linked high consumption of added sugars, especially from drinks, to weight gain and a higher risk of health problems like type 2 diabetes later in life. So naturally, sugar-free alternatives feel like the smartest move. However, the key question isn't why people choose sugar-free. It's whether those choices actually help in the long run. Is sugar-free better or worse for your health? Like most nutrition topics, sugar-free foods aren't all good or all bad. They have both their benefits and downsides. Potential benefits. 1. Fewer calories can help with weight control. Sugar has about 4 calories per gram, and it adds up fast. Replacing sugary drinks or snacks with sugar-free versions can reduce daily calorie intake. Some research shows that people who regularly choose diet beverages instead of sugary ones consume hundreds fewer calories per day, which can support weight management over time. For teens, This can be vital when sugar-free options replace sugary drinks. But it shouldn't come at the expense of proper nutrition during growth years. 2. Better for your teeth. Sugar feeds the bacteria in your mouth that cause cavities. Sugar-free gum and candy don't do this, which is why dentists often recommend sugar-free gum, especially after meals. Some sugar alcohols, like xylitol, may even help protect teeth. 3. Less impact on blood sugar. Unlike regular sugar, most sugar-free sweeteners don't cause big spikes in blood glucose. That's especially helpful for people who need to manage blood sugar levels, including those with diabetes or insulin resistance. Potential downsides. 1. Sugar-free doesn't mean nutritious. Many sugar-free foods are still highly processed. They may contain refined carbs, unhealthy fats, artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. A sugar-free cookie is still a cookie, but it just has different ingredients. 2. Digestive issues are common. Sugar alcohols can be rough on your stomach. Eating too much can lead to gas, bloating, cramps, or diarrhea, especially for people with sensitive digestion. 3. Sweet cravings don't always go away. Even without calories, sweet flavors still activate the brain's reward system. Some research suggests that constantly eating very sweet foods, even sugar-free ones, can keep cravings alive and make it harder to enjoy less sweet, whole foods. 4. Artificial sweeteners are still being studied. Most major health organizations agree that approved artificial sweeteners are safe in moderation. However, researchers are still studying how they affect appetite, metabolism, and gut health over time, especially in kids and teens. Because your body and brain are still developing, moderation matters. During adolescence, hormones, metabolism, and eating habits are still being shaped. Relying heavily on sugar-free products may affect how teens develop taste preferences and relationships with food later in life. This is why experts often recommend moderation rather than daily dependence on artificial sweeteners for teens. Sugar-free versus naturally sweet foods. One important thing to remember, not all sweetness is the same. Fruit contains natural sugar, but it also has fiber, vitamins, antioxidants, and water. Sugar-free snacks may have no sugar, but they often lack nutrients that help keep you full and energized. Fiber slows digestion, helps control blood sugar, and keeps you satisfied longer. That's why an apple can be more filling than a sugar-free candy, even though the apple has more sugar. For teens with busy school schedules, sports, and extracurriculars, choosing foods with fiber and nutrients helps keep energy, focus, and fullness throughout the day. So, when is sugar-free actually a good choice? For teens, sugar-free choices work best as occasional swaps rather than everyday options, especially since growing bodies need enough calories, nutrients, and variety to stay healthy. Sugar-free foods can be helpful when they replace something much higher in sugar, not when they replace food that's actually nutritious. Good examples: chewing sugar-free gum instead of candy after meals, choosing a diet soda occasionally instead of a regular soda. Less good examples: eating large amounts of sugar-free desserts, and thinking they're healthy. Replacing meals with sugar-free snacks that lack protein or fiber. Your body still responds to calories, carbs, fats, protein, and fiber, not just sugar. A balanced diet matters way more than a simple nutrition label. Tips for making smarter sugar-free choices. Prioritize whole foods like fruits, veggies, whole grains, and lean proteins. Use sugar-free products as occasional swaps, not daily staples. Read ingredient lists. The smaller the list is, the better. Usually. Pair sweet snacks with protein or fiber to stay full. Don't fear sugar completely. Just avoid excess added sugars. Remember, treats are fine. Just don't let them replace real meals. The final verdict. Sugar-free foods can definitely have a place in a healthy lifestyle, even if you're trying to cut back on added sugar or reduce calories. But they're not a magic solution. Some are useful. Some are just neutral swaps. And others can cause problems if you rely on them too much. For teens, the real key isn't avoiding sugar at all costs. It's balance, awareness, and moderation. Understanding what's in your food and how it affects your body will always matter more than any label on the package. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. U.S. figure skater Amber Glenn faced hate during 2026 Olympics, and her sister has a response. This article was written by Brooke Glenn on February 19th, and there is a note. In this op-ed, Brooke Glenn, sister of Olympian Amber Glenn, and recent podcast guest for Flame Bearers, a women's sports-telling studio, writes about the backlash the U.S. figure skater has received during the 2026 Winter Games. As I cheer on my sister, Amber Glenn, during her first-ever Olympics, I'm so proud of the person and athlete she is. And, of course, with that love comes a fierce desire to protect her from the ugliness and hate I'm seeing online. Recently, Amber was interviewed by our longtime friend Ashley Kane, the co-host of the Flame Bearers and cultured series Making It to Milan, about Amber's journey to the games, equity in sports, and her advice for young athletes. I was thrilled to be a part of her episode, too, and talk about what it means to me to see someone I love so much finally get the honor and recognition she deserves. Amber has always been exceptional. In a sport where longevity often leads to burnout, she has stayed relentlessly devoted to her dream. After more than a decade in international figure skating, 3 consecutive U.S. national champion titles, and now a gold medal at her very first Olympics, she's shown the world that she fights for her dreams and doesn't give up. The same goes for her beliefs and values. Amber has always been unapologetically exactly who she is. For Amber, being the first out LGBTQ+ woman on a U.S. Olympic figure skating team means more than just a footnote in her bio. She wears the pride flag pin not for attention or because it's on trend, but because she's had to fight to love herself unconditionally, and she wants the same for LGBTQ+ people across the country. You may be wondering what my sister said to bring on such vicious hatred. When asked at a press conference about her views On Trump's impact on the LGBTQ plus community, she responded, "It's been a hard time for the LGBTQ plus community overall in this administration. It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights." She never expressed a lack of respect or a lack of appreciation for this country. She simply spoke about what millions of Americans are living right now, as shown in the more than 400 anti-LGBTQ plus bills that have been introduced in the U.S. so far this year, according to the ACLU. That's when the hate started pouring in. This isn't criticism. This is an attempt to strip away someone's humanity, all because what she's saying is different and scary to them, especially now as Amber prepares for one of the biggest moments of her career. She should not have to carry the hate she has received while also trying to land her jumps. No athlete should. We say we want people to be authentic. Then we recoil when they are. We say athletes are role models. Then we demand they stay silent about their own lives. We celebrate them right up until they make us uncomfortable. And then we say they are horrible people. For me, there was never a question of whether or not I would love and support my sister unconditionally. Love doesn't have strings attached. Neither does allyship. Our parents taught us to treat all people with love and respect, even if we don't understand where they're coming from. You don't have to be LGBTQ+, or even understand what it means, to agree that people deserve to be who they are and love who they love without receiving hate. Allyship is supposed to be uncomfortable. That's kind of the point. It gives us just a taste of what the people we care about deal with day in and day out. If it makes us feel overwhelmed, we can imagine how they must feel all the time. Through the years, I've seen the beautiful and terrifying sides of people reflected through sports. I've seen how sports can bring people together across divides, and how groups and platforms like Flamebearers champion women exactly as they are. I've also seen the way that people use sport as a space to promote bigotry, declaring that there's only one way to be an athlete, a woman, an American. When I see my sister with her teammates, beaming with pride, I think of the good in sports. Beyond any medal, seeing my sister happy is the greatest victory. Seeing all the positive comments in Flamebearer's feed reminds me that there are other people out there who celebrate diversity and lead with compassion. I'm going to keep looking toward the light and doing all I can to outshine the dark. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Charlie Kirk's tragic assassination and its impact on teens. This article was written by Precious Simpson on March 4th. Just an ordinary day. The day of September 10th, 2025, started like no other. A debate on a college campus, when this traumatic situation occurred and proceeded to paralyze the country, for other countries as well. This assassination occurred in front of a little over 600 people in person and over thousands, even millions, online. It has been claimed from various sources that his wife and their young children were present at this event. Other countries held memorials and prayer services in honor of Charlie Kirk in remembrance of his work and what he did in their country. In the United States, at least, this event rippled across the country, affecting many teens and young adults alike. Since there has been almost 4 months since his assassination, I thought it was a perfect time to reflect on his death and to shed some light onto who he was and the effect that he had on the world. I would also like to address what seems like a mass mourning period to everyone, regardless of whether they knew him directly or not. Many teens and adults mentioned feeling various levels of mourning, even though they hadn't come in contact with him outside of watching him on social media. Breaking news. The death took place at Utah Valley University, where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Charlie Kirk was someone who spent a good majority of his life in the public eye with a goal of educating the youth on conservative political activist values, and that is what he was doing when he was tragically assassinated. Us teens may not have known him personally, but he would show up on our social media pages with his lively debates at various college campuses across the country. Charlie Kirk was so influential that President Trump himself made a whole speech about it addressing the nation. Continually, the President and Vice President J.D. Vance helped to plan a memorial service since they were close friends with Charlie and his wife. How mourning became a public affair. Just hours after the assassination, clips of the moments before and after, and even the actual assassination, was everywhere. It was impossible to ignore, and it put a damper on our days in a way that mimicked mourning. Regardless of whether or not we knew him, or even met him, we felt a cloud of grief after his death, which is odd, especially since he was such a known political figure that many people didn't agree with. That being said, many people were also quite fond of him. After his assassination, and during the last recent months, his death has given birth to many conspiracy theories about his wife and about the assassination as a whole, and I think this is because there has been a lot of shifts when it comes to power and dynamics of Turning Point USA that were a direct result of Charlie's death. Turning Point USA is still going to continue its mission with a new CEO, but the same message to youth. The goal is to honor his death, and it is to continue with his legacy for as long as possible. Impact on teens and young adults. I think this event in time was so powerful and influential to Gen Z because we watched this man build up his legacy rooted in faith and rooted in his values that at times were a bit too touchy, but his teachings and debates were seen as controversial truths that not everyone wanted to hear or understand, and that's okay. Not everyone is going to believe the same thing, but he was so influential because he was able to communicate to everyone on the world stage, and unfortunately, he died addressing his faith and the concerns surrounding it. It is such a powerful thing to see someone being so passionate and carefree and so open about what matters to them. Hearing someone being so knowledgeable and aware of society and religion is something that is sort of new for our generation. We see the fake celebrities and influencers who get paid to share their ideals, or people who get sponsored and then they suddenly adopt these ideals in order to collect a paycheck. We crave authenticity and truth, and that is what Charlie Kirk was. He was quite honest and truthful with what he wanted. For the most part, his ideals were fluid and unchanging. But we are all human, and we all make mistakes. When a human being dies, it matters. It means something. It means something big. Our next article, from TeenVogue.com, Layla Edwards is the first black woman to win gold for U.S. hockey at Olympics 2026. This article was written by Dunya Momenian on February 19th. Team USA just won the gold medal for women's hockey at the Winter Olympics 2026. And for Layla Edwards, that also meant making history. When she was named to the roster, the 22-year-old hockey player became the first black woman on the U.S. Olympic hockey team. Now, with today's win, she is also the first black woman to win an Olympic gold medal for U.S. hockey, per The Athletic. After they knocked the other teams out of the tournament, the game for gold came down to the U.S. versus Canada. It was a close contest, but Team USA won it with a goal by Megan Keller in overtime. Before that, Edwards helped tie the game with an assist to Captain Hillary Knight. Leading up to the gold medal game, Edwards also scored against Italy in a tournament match that the U.S. went on to win 6-0. Layla Edwards, who hails from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, started playing hockey when she was 5 years old and comes from a family of fellow players. Per NBC, Edwards served as defense for the Winter Olympics 2026, but typically has also played forward. She does both at the University of Wisconsin, where she's currently a senior. Edwards follows in the footsteps of Canada's Sarah Nurse, who became the first black woman to earn a gold medal in women's hockey at the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. Today, Nurse won a silver medal. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.